This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there! It might not be Saturday when you're listening to this, and it's certainly not Saturday while we're recording, but regardless, it is time for another episode of The Saturday Quiz. My name's John Leary, and I'm about to ask my guests the 10 questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and they are going to try and give me the correct answers. Joining me for their fourth time on the show are two comedians who, despite their disdain for trivia, evidently enjoy it enough to keep coming back on this podcast. One of them has been described as an efficient punchline machine, while a reviewer called the other one of those rare comedians that are so good at what they do, they make comedy seem easy. I'm very happy to have them back. Welcome to the show, Luke Heggie and Chris Ryan.
G'day.
Hello. Oh, it's so nice to have you both back on the show.
Whose was which quote there? I'd love to know.
Well, I think you know, don't you?
No.
I do.
Oh, you, Chris knows?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Which one was?
Well, you're the punchline machine and a mate wrote my one.
Oh. I'd rather make it the
Bruises. She wasn't a close mate, to be
fair. No, but
okay. Yeah. She did work for a magazine, but she did know me. So yeah. I don't think it counts as much, but anyway.
Oh, should I go through your stuff and find another quote?
No, it's a lovely quote.
And you're going to research who did the quote and do some background on them, see if it's legit.
But yes, Luke, you are an efficient punchline machine.
Okay. But I make it look hard. Yeah, and it is hard.
Well, yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's like... have we talked about your surname, Heggie? Where's that from?
Well, it's a bit of English and Scottish sort of, but there's no...
Okay.
I don't have any connection with the motherland. I'm sort of a bit of a first fleeter who hasn't looked further back than that, really.
Yeah, okay. I thought it might have been, may have come via the German.
No.
Which would explain the efficiency.
I met some the other day. They looked nothing like me.
You met who?
A couple of Heggies.
Oh, yeah.
Chris and I were in Quinby and doing some gigs.
Nice.
A couple of very different looking Heggies were there just based on their surname being the same as mine. They turned up.
Really?
Yeah. Don't know what they thought of it. But
I wish more Ryans would show up for that because there's heaps of Ryans.
Yeah. There's heaps of Ryans. I even have had another Chris Ryan on this show.
Was it the SAS soldier or the guy that wrote Sex at Dawn?
Neither. This is yet another one.
You should get one of them on. They'd be good. They're top in the Google search.
Far out. What's the book called?
Sex at Dawn.
Brilliant.
Yeah, people teasing about it heaps.
You should call your next show Sex at Dawn.
Get a different clientele turning up for that.
Yeah, you'd get a different...
A lot of single ticket buyers in trench coats.
Now, we should talk about your current shows. Chris, the actual title for your show is
Good-o.
That's coming up is Good-o.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's my dad's favourite saying. It's
It's
boomer for whatever. Basically, I like his attitude. It's different to mine. I'm very reactive and dad's very chill. So it's kind of exploring all the ways I've been a bit of a problematic person. And it's just stuff that's happened during the year and my attitude and my hypocrisies and things like that. Yeah, it's usual stuff.
Yeah. Excellent. Usual stuff. But, you make the comedy seem easy.
I don't think I do anymore.
I've seen a lot of it and she's playing herself down. It's great. It's Great new material.
Yeah, no,
good on you, Luke. You're a good pal. That's a nice thing to say.
We've had a good tour, and we do know that we've got good stuff for this year. I'm pretty excited about it, to be honest. It's really exciting.
Because you're going everywhere, right? All the capitals.
I'm not going to Hobart or Dublin. All right.
No, bugger them.
I count Newcastle as a really top capital city.
Yes.
Of my favourite cities, anyway. Yep. And Canberra is a capital for me and everyone else.
Well, it is. It's the nation's capital.
Yeah, but Heggie's probably going to more places than I. Are you going all the places, Heggie?
Yeah, pretty much every capital, I believe.
And with your show, Grogan.
Yes. That's my dad's favourite saying. Who left the Grogan on the floor?
Now, I looked this up because I was familiar with the meaning of Grogan in the Australian sense, but do you know it as a surname?
I've met a couple of Grogans.
Yeah. Yeah. People called Grogan, yeah, not just quite, by you, no, but other people.
It's quite unfortunate surname.
But it's not the best, is it?
It's sort of gone now. Anyone much younger than us, I don't believe it'd be... know what it means.
No,
so it's kind of
true.
Surreptitiously calling my show shit. Or not actual, like a piece of shit, not actual shit show. The show's pretty good. But
the show's just great. Isn't there the main street of Perth Airport is called Grogan Avenue or something?
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah, out of Perth Airport there's Grogan.
Grogan Avenue. It's on the way into town.
Grogan Road, that's... I think it is.
That's funny, Grogan Road. Well, do you know that the surname comes from the Irish word grog or groog, which means anger or fierceness?
Oh, okay. Ooh. I'll take that.
So, if your surname is Grogan, you're a bit of an angry angry ant.
I'll be telling interviewers from now on that's why I call my show Grogan.
Bloody good. Oath. It suits his, suits his material.
Now, as you may remember, I ask you at the beginning of each episode if you have a favourite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a new piece of favourite trivia?
How about you go first, Heggie?
I didn't prepare anything.
I didn't prepare anything.
No, of course you didn't. Do you know what you said last time, Heggie?
Absolutely no idea what I said
you
last time.
You said, this was your piece of trivia, sometimes an octopus will just punch a fish for something to do.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, I still think about that sometimes.
But no new bits of trivia.
I'll think of it as we go
along. Don't worry about it. Well, if it occurs to you, you can chuck it in.
Yeah.
Anything from you, Chris Ryan?
I don't. I'm sorry. I'll also try and do some homework as we...
I think talking about the other Chris Ryans...
Oh, true.
That counts as a piece of trivia.
Do you want me to go into that again, or have we covered it?
No, we've covered it. Right. I can talk about it. We can talk about it in retrospect.
In that case, there's a couple of Luke Heggies. One's a fishing enthusiast from the southeast Queensland, quite big on Facebook, and another one is an American college footballer.
Oh, wow!
Luke's pen pals.
He's being helped along by the good Lord in all these plays, by the look of things, and he's having a pretty fruitful career.
Wow, because there's quite a number of John Learys as well. Including my father, when he was alive, he was a John Leary. But there is the person that annoyingly has johnleary.com is an American, Catholic who he's a priest, I guess.
Yeah. Is he very large or doing big arm movements?
He looms large because he's kind of like this breakaway Catholic. guy who, talks to God and proselytizes and talks to his followers about God-y things, Jesus-y things.
So he's more
I
modern.
Knew a breakaway Catholic priest down the South Coast who had a cult and actually later went to prison. Is now, I believe, with an ankle bracelet. But you got to watch the breakaway Catholic priests.
Yeah.
You got to watch
the
normal
ones. That are still there, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, even the ones that haven't broken away. All right, well, enough Catholic bashing. Let's get on with the quiz. Here we go. Question number one. How many novels did Emily Bronte write?
Oh, it's going to be a small amount, I believe. I reckon 3.
Yeah? Why do you believe it's a small amount?
Well, I mean, in sisterhood sort of things, you never know which sister did what.
Mm.
And I don't know. Okay. I think there was a quality over quantity thing with the Bronte.
Yeah, there's three Bronte sisters. One's Emily, one's Charlotte, and one's, what's the other one? Anne.
Did she write one?
She just wrote one. Oh. Just the one.
All right.
You went too high. You had the right idea, Luke, but still you overshot it.
Yeah.
Do you know which one she wrote? There you go, for a little bonus.
Emily?
Yes, which one did Emily write?
Did she write Wuthering Heights?
She certainly did indeed. Is this your honours, your English honours degree?
Know what? I don't even know. Sometimes, because I don't remember anything much that I've learned, seriously.
Right.
And
okay.
I think that's come out from somewhere that I can't access when I try to.
Yeah, right. It just, you can't force it, just happens.
Yeah, I don't know, I can tell you many more Bronte sister novels other than Wuthering Heights. I only know that from karaoke, really.
I did indeed. Know it was her, I did.
Yeah, very good. Have you read Wuthering Heights?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, love it?
I loved it. I thought it was so, I mean, it's disturbing, but it was kind of romantic.
Mm.
But I mean, what romance isn't disturbing?
Well, sure. Okay.
We're getting some philosophy here today. I like it.
It was published in 1847 under the pen name. Do you know her pen name? They all the Bronte sisters wrote under kind of, I guess, gender neutral names.
To make it more palatable for us to read.
Yeah, for blokes to read. Yeah.
That's why I changed my name to Chris Ryan.
Yeah.
So she went with Ellis Bell. So they all used the surname Bell to publish their novels. I think Anne is Acton, and what's the other one? Charlotte.
You can ring my.
You can ring my?
Goodness.
Yes, you can ring my Bell.
Sorry.
But Emily died a year after its publication. Aged only 30.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible. Dreadful?
Wasn't too bad back then, though, was it?
Oh, getting to 30 was, once you know, 10, reasonable.
They used to say that. Yeah.
It's a fair innings in the 1800s.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, come a long way. We've got dogs that live that long now.
Question number two. In motoring, what does the abbreviation ATV stand for?
Oh, is this directed towards someone, or we just jump in?
No, you just jump in.
All-terrain vehicle.
All-terrain vehicle. Of course it is.
Quad bikes.
Yeah, little quaddies. Do you get around on a quad bike, Luke?
I have done before, but no, it's an incredibly dangerous.
It is.
It's that.
It really is.
The injury you get is incorporated in the name of it.
Quadruply.
Oh, Jesus.
I love how you made that my problem. I'm not a helper.
Wow, I was trying to work. I was going ATV.
I know.
What?
I was thinking ATV first, but then I looked at his face and I could see.
Whoa.
He has jokes about people who die that way in his.
Oh, hang on.
Do you?
Well,
no,
not the way she puts it. It's more.
It's not true.
Yeah, you know, it's an allegory more than a joke.
Yeah, it's not actually about an event. It's the idea of it.
I wasn't actually gonna. Like, I looked this up, but I wasn't actually going to include it. But ATV deaths in Australia, they're one of the highest causes of death in regional Australia.
There's some big...
Like,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
I looked into this once for a, little project. And, quite a few famous people get on them and think, but well, your Ozzy Osbournes, Rick Mayall, these sorts of people. Go to their friend's farm.
And just fang around.
Whack.
Yeah.
Problems. Yeah.
Do they hurt their back, did you say?
No, they just come off somewhere or another. Usually spinal, neck.
Yeah, they're pretty dangerous.
I'd stay away from them.
I would stay away from them too. I read a thing on the, I can't remember what it's called, like it's called The Land or something, you know, a newspaper for country folk, recommending helmets always be worn and roll bars on ATVs.
Oh, okay.
Which I will likewise endorse as part of this podcast. All right, question number three. True or false? By population, Hamburg is Germany's second largest city, and there's a bonus point for naming whether Hamburg is in the country's north, south, east, or west.
Ooh.
Either of you been to Hamburg?
I've not been. I went to Munich. I don't reckon I've got much on this. I reckon Munich's done a bit of travelling.
Munich's bigger than Hamburg?
Honestly, I wouldn't know. I feel like Munich, to me, it's a better known place, but that's because I went there.
Yeah.
What kind of information is
better
this?
Known by you?
Exactly.
I'd probably go Berlin, Munich, Hamburg in population. I don't know. I've never been there either.
No.
And I'm also going to go west.
Okay, so you're going false west.
Yeah, false west.
Chris Ryan, what are you going to go?
I'm going false, but I'm going to say south.
False south. You're both wrong.
Of course we are.
On both counts.
Oh, wow, amazing.
True north, isn't it?
It is true north. Exactly.
I nearly said true north just to say true north.
Yeah, that's right. Hamburg is true north, or well, it is the second largest city in Germany by population. It's situated on the River Elbe and has over 2,500 bridges, which is the most of any city in the world.
Hmm.
The most bridges.
Wow.
You don't hear about that, do you?
No.
You don't.
Anyway.
That's a lot.
The port of Hamburg is Germany's largest and Europe's third busiest port. But you were right. Berlin is the bigger city by population. Wow. It's got about 3.7 million people, and Hamburg has about half as many at 1.9.
Okay. Do you know what's third? Is Munich third?
Yeah, let's say that Munich's third.
Oh, you're just going to...
I don't know.
You don't know everything.
I don't know everything. No. I pretend I do, but not right now. All right, question number four. The Battle of the Chosin Reservoir was fought during which war?
Oh, I'm going to go Korean just because it's a quiz. I reckon you're trying to muck us around.
Right.
Oh, why do you think I'm
trying to muck you around? Quiz questions.
Quiz.
You know, oh, yeah.
Like, how many book one? Yeah, righto. Or like when an answer's zero. Yeah, well done. All right, got me.
You're correct. It was the Korean War. It's known in Korea as Lake Chongjin, and it's now in North Korea. It was. Do you know anything about the Battle of Chosin River Reservoir? I mean, it was brutal 17-day battle in freezing weather that led to massive casualties on both sides. It led to what U.S. historians have called the greatest evacuation movement by sea in U.S. military history, with a massive 193 ship armada being used to evacuate not only the United Nations troops, but also about a third of Korean refugees, with one of the ships, the SS Meredith Victory, evacuating 14,000 refugees all by itself, despite being designed to carry only 12 passengers.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Isn't
that nuts?
Yeah. Must have been luxurious for the 12.
Yeah, a lot of room to move. For
did they take these refugees back to America?
I'm pretty sure they did, yes.
Wow.
Bit of a different policy these days, I think. But yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Do not come is the the message.
Rich people on boats are not keen to put 14,000 people on them these days.
Yeah. All right, question number five. In which month of 2023 did the World Health Organization deem COVID-19 no longer a public health emergency of international concern?
2023 they waited, did they? I'd forgotten, I'd forgotten about it, about early 2020. You see people testing and stuff now. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I got it at Christmas.
This recent Christmas.
My whole family got it this Christmas, and I didn't, right? And I kept testing, and I don't even know if the tests work anymore, do they?
They're off.
This seems to be the thing. It seems to be, you know, people going, oh, everything feels like COVID. Like I'm all snotty and I've got a fever and a sore throat. But I've been doing the tests and it's not COVID.
I know. But, and you just go, yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, someone's got to go to the shops. You know what I mean? That's why it's a problem.
I've never tested positive.
Never?
Never tested.
Well, yeah. You're not going to test positive then.
No.
You're positive you've never tested.
I've got stuff to do. Oh, no, I have tested before out of obligation, and I was fine. Self-employed, don't have time to be sick.
The boss is pretty intense, yeah.
So, so do we know you 1 in 12?
I'll go. Say January.
Yeah, I'll go March.
January 2023? March. You're both wrong. It was May of 2023, and the report of the 15th meeting of the International Health Regulations Emergency Committee regarding the coronavirus 2019 disease offered advice to the WHO Director General. Do you know who that is? He's got a great name.
No, I'll probably know it when you hear it.
The WHO Director General is named Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, and he concurred with the committee that COVID-19 was now an established and ongoing health issue, but no longer constituted a public health emergency of international concern.
I think it probably dragged on that long because they're on board member rates. And they're like, oh, we better keep the board directors together for an extra year just in case.
The secretariat was on a contract.
Yeah, right. Perhaps. That, maybe that's true. I'm not one to comment on that.
I don't know. Good on everyone for remaining vigilant down there in Victoria.
Yeah, thanks. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Luke Heggie and Chris Ryan, and we are up to question number 6. What is the stage name of American singer-songwriter Alicia Moore?
Is it Alicia Keys?
Yes. Yes, it is.
No.
Oh, so it's not Alicia anything.
It's not Alicia anything.
Oh, okay. Well, how are we though?
Wait. Okay, I've got it. Pink. Is it pink?
Oh, it's pink.
Yeah.
It's pink. Alicia Beth Moore is Pink's real name.
I was going to say Alicia Keys, and I was like, oh, he's got it.
No. Why would you change your name from Moore to Keys? Like, just for the piano
Keys are
reference?
Associated with the piano, and it's much more showbiz.
Yeah, if you're on the run, you know, trying to avoid your taxes, who knows? All sorts of things.
Well, no, she Alicia Moore is pink, as you guessed. Well, your second guess was correct.
Pink was here recently.
She has been here. She's still here, in fact.
Ruined my weekend.
I got stuck in traffic for an hour because of Pink.
Yeah, me more
from
so.
From the comedy store.
It's terrible.
It was so annoying.
Why you more so, Luke?
Oh, I was trying to go. I didn't take my bike to the comedy store, which is a big mistake, and it was worse than any football game I've ever seen. It's all Pink fans just wandering about aimlessly.
Clogging up the roads.
Trying to get out. And I got into an Uber. It was with some other comics. It was a mistake. I should have just walked home in the rain. Anyway, good on them all. Hope they had a good night.
Well, I reckon they did. I reckon, I wouldn't call myself a Pink fan by any stretch. But I hear she puts on a good show.
Yeah.
I think they had two good nights. Apparently on one night, a woman gave birth backstage. Did you hear that?
What?
Comic told me that backstage at the store.
You'd know, wouldn't you? It's just
I don't know what she was doing at a concert if she was that close, but Pink brought her up on stage, took her backstage apparently. Did you know?
Oh, right.
Anyway, that could be a big myth.
Just wanted to be
really? Oh, I don't think you're getting on stage if you're giving birth, though, are you?
I don't even know how that story came about, but I assume someone heard it somewhere, and
she's
I tend
mosh
to
pit.
Believe people.
Just crowd surfing. Oh, no, you that's enough.
Yeah.
Is there a doctor in the house? Maybe they did they.
These big name acts that come to town, though, I don't recall getting compensated by any of them for inconvenience because they talk about how it brings a lot of money or something. It doesn't really, but it brings a lot of people into the one spot.
It sure
and
does.
It's it's ruined a couple of my weekends of recent times. I had to go to Perth on the same weekend that Coldplay went to Perth, and so a bunch of Coldplay listeners. I was at the epicenter of mediocrity for 5 hours there on a plane. with all of them. And the price was double to get there.
And of course.
I was just going for work. So, you know, you're welcome, lads.
Mm.
Enjoy my money.
I wish stadiums would just be for sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, I mean, yes, you're right. I went to see the Matildas play at Marvel Stadium, which is where Pink was playing or had just played, and the surface was, you know, questionable.
Ah.
But it also meant that the Matildas couldn't play at the MCG because that's where Taylor Swift had been. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, the Swifties all, they were adamant they had a great time. But I'd probably say that too if I parted with about $400 for one night to see a speck in the distance.
Totally.
Doing
and
some
waited
stuff.
An hour to leave the car park.
All right then, moving on. Question number 7. Speaking of sports stadiums, this is your sports question. The Liverpool Football Club manager stepping down at the end of the current season is... Now, do either of you know this already? It's a multiple choice.
I know when I hear it, but no.
No, you don't want to have a guess?
What was that TV show? Ted someone?
Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso? Is it Ted Lasso?
No, it's German. It's a German name. Anyway, don't know.
All right, let's see if you can pick it out of these three options. Is it A, Jurgen Klopp, B, Pep Guardiola, or C, Maurizio Pochettino?
Klopp.
Yeah, Klopp.
Klopp. Yeah. Klopp is the correct answer. You're right, the German one.
Yes.
Jürgen Norbert Klopp is his name. He is the longest-serving manager currently in the English Premier League and has been coaching Liverpool since 2015. He has coached them to win just about everything there is to win, including the Premier League, the FA Cup, the UEFA Champions League, and the FIFA Club World Cup. He's quite the coach.
They often leave on top, don't they? They can rub their hands together from the recliner when they're...
I guess so. I mean, you either... It's a bit like politics. You either, you know, leave on top or you get booted out.
They can sense. He'll know. They won't win anything for ages now. Mm. Not just of him. It's because he knows that... They've got a bad period coming up, so he's out. He's a rat.
Well, you are a little bit right, I think, because a lot of his current squad are, you know, getting to the end of their careers. Mm. And so, you're kind of right. Do you know the teams that the other two options coach?
Pep Guardiola.
Pep Guardiola.
Chelsea.
No, Pochettino's the Chelsea coach. So
is this just a European league?
Yeah, English Premier League.
Oh. No, don't know.
Well, Pep is the winner of 5 of the last 6 Premier League titles with...
Man City.
Man City is the right answer. No. There you go. Okay. Very well done.
Wow.
Yeah, you got
you
all the bonus.
All the way there. I'm watching. No, sure.
That's my job. I'm on the sideline trying to, you know, get you the win. All right, question number 8. What word beginning with P... describes a person who knows and is able to use several languages?
Polylinguistic.
Oh, poly's the right...
Polylinguist?
Okay. Poly, yeah, not lingua or linguist. I'll tell you that it translates from the Greek, so you've got poly, which is... Polyglot is the right answer.
Here we go.
Amazing.
Polyglot. Do you know what glot means in Greek?
No.
Don't want to have a little guess?
Talking.
No, it means many-tongued.
Okay. Glot is the sound you make with your tongue.
Well, it's more of a sound you make with the back of your throat. Oh, I suppose you like...
Glottis.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Polyglot.
I think that was a combined effort.
Mm. All three of us, probably. Yeah. All right. Yep. Question number 9. The Latin cogito ergo sum translates into English as, do you know what this is?
No.
No, but
cogito or there's a bit of a disagreement of how to say cogito, whether it's a hard or a soft G. Cogito ergo sum translates into English as, I think,
F-Y-M.
Therefore I am. Yes. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Cogito, right. I was just thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, cogitate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ergo. Yeah. I always know that means ergo is like, we all say
like
that.
Therefore.
I mean, we use it
yeah.
all the time, don't we? Some I would not have got.
Some, yeah. Some. Okay. It was first published. Oh, do you know who came up with it?
No.
No? French guy or a guy writing in French anyway.
No idea.
Because it was first published in French as Je pense donc je suis.
Yes.
So I think, therefore I am, by René Descartes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
In his 1637 book, Discourse on the Method of Rightly Conducting One's Reason and of Seeking Truth in the Sciences.
Oh, wow.
All right.
They're pretty long titles it's a back
big,
then.
Big subject to take on.
It is a big subject to take on. It's kind of, I think it's a little bit what you both do in your stand-ups. You kind of open a discourse on the method of rightly conducting one's reason and of seeking truth in the sciences.
Yeah, maybe.
But
I don't know about the sciences.
On a good day.
Yeah.
Maybe not the sciences. But rightly conducting one's reason is, you know, what you both try to do in your comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it'd be good to aim for logical all the time.
Mm.
I'd love to be logical all the time.
Oh, it's difficult.
Yeah, logic's hard.
Other people aren't.
It is hard when you're surrounded by people that are illogical.
Yeah. Or just different logic.
No, that's too accommodating, yeah. Chris.
Oh, I'm just talking about myself. I disagree with myself all the time.
They're not even talking to us.
Sorry, guys,
for there. All right, we are up to the final question. Question number 10. How many films are nominated for Best Picture at this year's Academy Awards?
They've gone crazy, have they? All inclusive. Or is it going to be zero or something stupid? Nah, they're all hopeless. Zero.
It's not a trick question. There are films nominated for Best Picture. So okay. The answer is not zero.
I'm going
to
go seven.
You know, I just don't go to the films anymore.
Yeah, I
couldn't. No, you don't see any movies
anymore?
The
last one I went to was a South Korean film called Past Lives. It was a romance.
Oh. Well, let me tell you that that is nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, good one.
So that's one of them.
Is Barbie nominated? It didn't get
Barbie is also nominated. So you're up to two.
What about the Oppenheimer one? Is that been nominated?
That is also nominated. There you go. Three.
Look, I don't know.
Is there some blockbuster, like bloody Marvel shit?
No.
It wouldn't get nominated.
Wouldn't think so. Not at the Academy. No. I'm going to go seven with absolutely no idea.
Seven is your guess.
Yep.
Chris, do you want to go
higher
or lower?
I think maybe five.
Five? It used to be five. It used to be limited to five. But in 2009, the number of films nominated in the Best Picture Award category increased from five to...
Six. Eight.
Seven.
Six, isn't it?
Ten.
Ten. Oh, that's ludicrous.
Why would they increase it from five to six?
I don't know.
Come on.
An encouragement award.
Just add one more.
Just chuck one in there. Help sales a blockbuster. I don't know.
Gradual. You know, people change light. You know, like a small change is easier to swallow than a doubling, I would have thought, but okay.
Yeah, well, yes. They went 100% more. So 10 films. And this year, those 10 films are, we've already named Past Lives, Oppenheimer, Barbie, and the other, what's that? Seven, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
All right.
Okay.
I've seen two of them. 10 cheapens it a bit, I reckon.
You reckon?
It's like every child wins a prize.
I do tend to agree. I mean, five is enough for all the other categories. I don't know why... Particularly, best film has to have double the number of nominees, and
so
then
expensive.
Still only one winner.
So expensive to make films, and everyone's been kicking up a big stink of late, haven't they? About how so and so is not nominated for this or whatever. Maybe they're just
sure.
Yeah,
maybe they're like.
I reckon they're trying to sell more tables at the gala event. That wouldn't be cheap.
No, well, no. You'd think that they'd do the reverse because I don't think.
Oh.
You know, don't they do it all? They give it all away, don't they?
My limited experience with being asked if I want to get nominated for an award was, all right, cough up, buddy.
Play up.
I don't think so.
Yeah, which is that such is, a
you're right, actually.
Strange
yeah.
thing, isn't it?
It's
you shouldn't have to pay
mad.
To be nominated
yeah.
for making a comedy special.
Richest wins. Yeah, it's crazy.
Richest
you shouldn't
wins.
Have to pay.
Well, yeah, and especially with the Academy Awards, like the whole campaigning for an award, they spend millions on.
It's embarrassing,
you know.
Isn't it? It's like class captain stuff. Just do the job. Get the film out. If it's good, people will watch it. The end.
Yeah. But awards get more people to go and see your film, good or not.
Public can't be trusted.
The wrong ones.
You know,
they
like
can't.
If they're watching, if they're looking at posters looking for awards.
They can't and shouldn't.
No. So neither of you two promote yourselves as award-winning comedians?
Yeah, I haven't really won except once. And of course I use it because the public love the idea that someone else thinks they're good before you. They're allowed to choose for themselves.
Yeah, even if you have to get your friend to write the review.
Well, that's it, mate. Come to our shows. They're great.
Well, it has been a joy having you both back on this podcast again. I'd love to say that this podcast was award-winning, but no, I couldn't afford the entrance fee either. So, yeah. But maybe I'll get a friend to... Well, I do actually get my friends to write reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if anyone...
Okay, I'll jump on and give you one.
Yeah, go on.
For sure. Right.
Give me 5 stars.
All right.
That's a stretch. But yeah, okay.
I was just about to say thank you to 5-star comedians Chris Ryan and Luke Heggie. But I might have to,
you can
review that.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us. I can't believe it's been 4 times. Lots of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're still having fun, and I hope you'll come back.
Yeah,
definitely.
And break legs with your shows all around the country.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I'll see you down in Melbourne.
Excellent.
I'll be there.
Yeah, see you soon.
Righto.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for listening. While I've got you, I would love it if you could take a moment to write a review for this podcast. Or if you're pressed for time, you could just give it a 5-star rating. Thanks to Luke Heggie and Chris Ryan for being my guests yet again. Go and see their award-winning stand-up comedy whenever they're in your town. You won't regret it. And as always, the questions in this quiz are written by the fabulous Cindy McDonald. My thanks go to her. This episode was recorded on the land belonging to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and acknowledge their traditions of sharing knowledge and stories for millennia on this land. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.